Your Bibles to two places, Proverbs chapter 22, and put a bookmark there, and then Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 22, that's where we're going to go in a few minutes, but I want to begin reading in Proverbs chapter number 2. Those of you that know me, you know the book of Proverbs is one of my favorite books in the Bible, and I'm still finding things. And I praise the Lord that it's like that. That's the Word of God. It's real and it's alive, and it speaks to us. But we're going to begin reading today in Proverbs chapter 2. Let's read verses 1 through 6. And then we'll go to the Lord in prayer, and I really desire your prayers this morning that the Lord would just speak to us from His Word, and that He would be that we would be mindful of what the Lord would like to do in our hearts. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1 says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." Let's pray. Lord, I do want to thank You again for letting us be here today and all the many blessings that You've given to us. And Lord, as we come today, I do pray and ask that You would speak to our hearts from the Word of God. Lord, we have many things that we're praying about as a church. We ask, Lord, that You would put and keep Your hand upon us, Lord, that we might be witnesses in these last days, Lord, that we might be used of You. And Lord, I pray You'd take the message today, and Lord, that it might speak to us, and that, Lord, the Spirit of God might move in our midst and cause us to have our spiritual eyes and our heart open to the Word of God. And I pray, Lord, that You'd bind the devil, that he'd not be able to hinder in the service today in any way whatsoever. And Father, we ask You to have Your way. I pray, Lord, that if there's anybody here that's lost, and no doubt there is, but Lord, I pray that You'd speak to their heart, convict them, show them their great need of salvation. Help us, Lord, to see our lives before the Word of God, and help as only You can. We commit this time, and Lord, ask that You'd bless it. We ask it all in Jesus' name, and amen. All right, we're going to read verse number 2 and verse number 6 one more time before we move over to Proverbs chapter number 22. But verse number 2 said, "So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom," and then the notice the second part, "and apply thine heart to understanding." Now verse number 6 says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of His mouth." Now what comes out of His mouth? His words. "Out of His mouth, the words of the Lord, cometh knowledge and understanding." Now look over in chapter number 22. I ask you to go ahead and find your place over there. And we're going to just begin this morning by reading some verses, and I'm pointing something out to you. Chapter 22 and verse number 17 says, "Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge." Notice what it says there, "apply thine heart." Now look at chapter 23 and verse number 12. The Bible says over there, "Apply thine heart unto instruction, and thine ears to the words of knowledge." There's a pattern here about applying your heart. Now, in my Bible, if I turn over about six pages to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 7, we're going to read about three verses over here. Ecclesiastes chapter number 7, that's the very next book, the book of Proverbs. And Ecclesiastes chapter number 7 and verse number 25, King Solomon again, you know he wrote the book of Proverbs and the book of Ecclesiastes, he said in chapter 7 verse 25, I applied mine heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things and to know the wickedness of folly, even of foolishness and madness. Look at chapter 8, verse number 9. He said, all this have I seen and applied my heart unto every work that is done under the sun. There is a time wherein one man ruleth over another to his own hurt. And then verse number 16 of chapter 8, one more verse. He said, when I applied mine heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done upon the earth. And then I'm going to read one verse to you out of Psalms chapter 90 and verse number 12. It says over there, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And what I'm pointing out this morning in reading all these verses is that little word apply or applied. It's only mentioned 7 times in the Bible. You'll find the word apply, or as it said in the book of Ecclesiastes, he said, I applied my heart. You only find that 7 times. Now, 7 in the Bible is God's number. It's a number of perfection or a number of completeness when we find the word 7 in the Bible. That's what that number stands for. Now, all 7 times you find these words, they are mentioned in what's called the wisdom books of the Bible. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, the book of Psalms, there's actually 5 of them, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Solomon. But every time you find that phrase, apply my heart, it's in the wisdom books of the Bible. And every time you find that word in the Bible, it has to do with the heart. Has to do with the heart. He said, and I'm going to preach out of chapter 22, verse 17, but he said, apply thine heart. Every time you find that word, it has to do with the heart. Now, there's something that has bothered me down through the years. As I've preached, as I've pastored, it's bothered me for many years, and for many years I've asked the question, and I've looked that I might find an answer to this question that bothers me so much. And here's what it is. It bothers me, how can children that are raised right end up so wrong? Have you ever wondered that? I mean, somebody can have every opportunity under the sun to hear the Word of God, be raised by godly parents, godly grandparents, brought to church, heard the truth, been in revival, saw the Spirit of God move. I mean, they've hit the spiritual lottery, you might say, and they don't even realize it. You know, hearing the Word of God, you are really blessed to be able to hear that. But I've seen this over and over again. I've seen preachers' children. If anybody ought to turn out right, well, you'd think the preacher's children ought to, but many, many good men, preachers, missionaries, evangelists that have given their life to the Lord's work and tried very, very hard to raise their children right, and their children many times will go out and live exactly opposite to the way that they've been raised. And I mean, just go out and throw all of that away. And I mean, not a little bit either. I mean, completely opposite. Not just I wouldn't just pick on preachers' children, but people that have brought their children to church all their life and raised them and tried to teach them right and do right, and yet they'll go out, and I mean, I could mention anything this morning, and it wouldn't apply just to one person. What I'm saying, every family, everybody knows of situations where children have been raised right and taught right, prayed over, brought to church, heard the Word of God. But they'll go out and, I mean, live in all kinds of ungodly lifestyles, drunkenness, fornication, adulteries. You can go to any prison in the United States of America, and you go around and talk to the men and the women in those prisons, and you will always find somebody who will say, my grandma really loved God. She prayed for me and brought me to church. My daddy was a preacher, and this is killing him that I'm here. I mean, it's a very common thing. To have children that just, and that's bothered me, really bothered me to think about that, to think about somebody that is raised to know the truth, but they'll go out and join some cult. Do you know for every Mormon that gets born again and saved by the grace of God, there will be about 30 people join the Mormon church that will testify and say, I grew up in a Baptist church. I grew up in a Christian denomination. They grew up knowing the truth and knowing right. But by far, they'll go out and join some cult that does not believe and teach the Word of God. That bothers me. And I've wondered about that down through the years. Or they'll go out and join some apostate church that doesn't believe the Word of God, or they'll go out and just completely deny the Lord altogether and say, I don't even believe in God anymore. That's really bothered me down through the years, and I've wondered how come that is, and prayed about that and thought about that. I mean, of all the things that I want in life, I want my children to turn out right. I do. I want the children of this church, not just to grow up in this church, but I want them to embrace the truth of the Word of God and become real, productive Christians for the glory and the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. I desire that. How is it that this happens so many times? And it all boils down to this one little word, apply. That's what it boils down to. And I want to try to preach today on the subject of personal application. Personal application. It really does not matter how much truth a person has heard or knows or has been exposed to if they do not personally apply it to their own lives. It's not going to do them any good. What I'm talking about this morning, what I'm preaching today, you young people have to realize that this has to be personally applied to your own life. You cannot go to heaven as a grandchild. You can only go as a child of God. You will not get through this life on the coattails of somebody else's relationship with God. You've got to have your own relationship with the Lord. It must be personally applied. That's what I want to try to preach on. I read something this week that was very interesting to me. I read a story about how Colonel Sanders became a Christian. You know who I'm talking about? Kentucky Fried Chicken. Everybody knows Colonel Sanders. Some of you young people maybe have not made that connection, but Colonel Sanders was a great Christian man. But he did not get saved until he was after 75 years old. There's not very many people. The older you get, the less chance there is that you'll get saved, whether you realize that or not. But most people that get saved are young people. But I read the story of Colonel Sanders, how he became a Christian, and he grew up in church. His mama, his parents, they took him to church. They walked to church no matter what the weather was. They were always there. They did not miss. He grew up being a good person. He went to church his whole life.
gave vast amounts of money. He was a millionaire. Gave all kinds of money to help build churches and for Christian causes. And he was a moral man, went to church. He was a member of the church. He'd been baptized. He took communion. And his church asked him one time to go to a conference somewhere. And he was an older man then, and they flew on an airplane. And as they were flying over where they were going, he made the comment. He said, if this plane goes down, he said, you men are going to heaven, but I'm going straight to hell. He said, I hope I can find some peace at this conference we're going to. And it wasn't until years after that that he finally, the Lord spoke to his heart in a very direct way, and he became a born-again Christian. He got saved by the grace of God, and he testified after that. He said, you can do every good thing under the sun, but if you're not saved, he said, you'll die and go to hell. Boy, I thought that's the grace of God. Somebody'd feed that many preachers, God wouldn't let them die and go to hell, surely. And so he got saved after he was 75 years old. But you know what? He realized that it has to be personally applied. It's got to be personally applied. And in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 17, there are three little things I want to show you. Three keys or three steps to personal application. And I want you to underline them in your Bible or write it in a notebook, however you want to. But you need to notice and remember this. Proverbs 22 and verse number 17 says, bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. Now, number one, look what he said here. It says, bow down thine ear. That's step number one to personal application. Now, the unbowed ear, that is a ear, that is a person that is full of pride, that is full of self. And I will say this morning that as long as a person is full of pride or full of themselves, they will never ever hear the voice of God. You think about that. The one thing, the one major thing that will hinder you and keep you from hearing the voice of God in your life is pride. And as long as there's pride there, as long as we think that we're it and we're full of ourselves, and let's just be honest this morning, there's a lot of times in our lives that we really think we're the cat's meow, whatever that means. Well, we really think we're it. I mean, I think most people go through a time of pride like that in their lives, but I can prove to you from the Word of God that you will never hear the voice of God until the ear is bowed down before Him. James chapter 4, verse 6 says, God resisteth the proud. Do you realize that this morning, that the Lord resists? You think about that. People say, well, God loves everybody and accepts everybody and deals with everybody. No. Now, He does love everybody. But the Word of God says He resists the proud. You think about that. To resist somebody, if I would resist somebody, I am holding them at a distance. I am keeping them away from me. I am not hearing. I'm not paying attention. And God said the Word of God says that God resists the proud. But He gives grace unto the humble. Now, there are three important areas of personal application in your life. Number one, there's the area of salvation. You will never be saved without bowing the ear, without humbling yourself. Nobody gets saved unless they first get lost. Unless they first realize that they are a sinner. That's what the Bible says. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You can't get saved without realizing that you're a sinner. And when you realize you're a sinner, you realize you need to be saved. I got saved when I was 9 years old. I thank God that I did. But I realized as a 9-year-old boy that I was lost, that if I died in that lost condition, that I would die and go to hell, and that I needed a Savior more than I needed anything in the world. And the thing that held me back the most was shyness and going to the altar. Now, you don't have to go to the altar to get saved. But I got saved at the altar. And the morning that God dealt with my heart and I got saved, it wouldn't have mattered if there's 1,000 people there. Nobody else went to the altar, but I went to the altar. I had to put old pride aside and say, Lord, here, and He saved me. But bowing down the ear, salvation, you've got to bow down the ear. You've got to come humbly as a sinner in need of salvation. And that needs to be personally applied. And there's the area of dedication. Do you know after you're saved, you ought to dedicate your life unto the Lord? I don't think we have that kind of preaching like we did once upon a time. But I'm telling you, if you're a child of God, you ought to give your life to the Lord. You ought to dedicate your life to God. Say, here I am. You say, preacher, does it say that in the Bible? It sure does teach it. You know when the Apostle Paul got saved on the road to Damascus there and he met the Lord in the bright shining light? You know the first thing he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He wasn't just stopping at being saved. Well, I'm saved. Now I'm good to go. I can go out and do whatever I want to. No, that's not how he lived his life. He said, Lord, what do you want me to do now that you've saved me? See, he's got a reason. He's got a purpose in our lives. And we ought to dedicate our lives. And then there's the area of sanctification. Now, I'm not going to get all into that, but just what I'm talking about is daily walking with the Lord. After you're saved, say, yes, preacher, I've been saved. You ought to dedicate your life. And you ought to walk daily with the Lord every day. And in order to do that, you're going to have to walk in humility, realizing that you really don't have any strength to live the Christian life, but it's all going to depend upon Him. But pride will keep you from all three of those areas of your life. Pride will keep you. Considering my own life, thinking back, I was thinking about Brother Jason and him talking about the tomato vines this morning. I worked yesterday in the garden for several hours. And I think everybody ought to have a garden. The Lord will speak to you in the garden. I like that song in the hymn book, I Come to the Garden Alone. Because nobody comes and helps me work in the garden. So I go to the garden alone and I get out there and I was working and I was thinking about this passage of Scripture. I go in, look at it, go back out, think about it a little bit. But I was thinking about in my life the times that I have been farthest away from God. I'm talking about after I got saved. So I've not always been a preacher. But the times I've been the farthest away from God are the times that I was fullest of myself. I used to think a whole lot more of myself than I do now. I realize what I am now. I'm just a sinner saved by the grace of God. But I'll tell you, when I was a young man in high school and playing baseball and lifting weights, and boy, I had a nice car. I had a Mustang SVO. Man, that thing would fly. And I really thought you ever heard of BMOC, Big Man on Campus? I thought that's me. I thought that's me, and boy, that's how it is a lot of times when you're younger. You really think you're something. Well, I really thought I was something once upon a time. Now, if you really think you're something, you're not going to get much from God. You're not going to do much for God. You're really just a hindrance to what God wants to do in your life. But about the time I got the basic training, it didn't take long. I realized I wasn't as big man as I thought I was. In fact, I thought I was a big baby. Away from mama for the first time and away from my fiance. We was already engaged and going to get married, Kim and I. And boy, they're telling us every day that there's a war in the Persian Gulf brewing. And I think they tell everybody this. They say, you're going straight to war and you're all going to die. So you better pay attention to what we're saying. And that's how they do. Well, I remember getting that little Gideon Bible that they gave me down in Charlotte before I left and turning to the back of that. I didn't know much. I mean, I knew some verses, but there's in the back, where to go when you need. And I remember spending a lot of time when you're afraid, when you are discouraged, when you're lonely, bow down the ear. Bowing down the ear is a good place to get to come to the place of what it says next in our verse. First of all, if you are going to personally apply the Word of God, you must bow down thine ear. And that gets you in a good position for number two. Look what it says. And hear the words of the wise. If you're full of pride, you'll never bow the ear and you'll never hear what God has to say. But if you'll get in a place of humility and bow down the ear, then you're in a good place to hear what God has to say. Bow down the ear and hear the words of the wise. Now, I've been in the ministry for 20 plus years now. In fact, I've almost been pastoring 20 years. And I preached for 3 years before I ever started pastoring. And in all these years in the ministry, I am more convinced than ever that you can go to church all your life and hear and hear and hear, but never really hear what the Word of God has to say. Because if we all always heard, nobody would go out and make shipwreck with their lives. But many, many times in church, people will. They come, they hear, they know, but they go out and they do exactly opposite of what they've been hearing. So that lets me know somebody's not really been hearing. I mean, you can hear physically, but I'm talking about spiritually. Hearing is a spiritual exercise. I went to church all my life, but I never realized I really needed to be saved until that morning that the Spirit of God spoke to my heart and I really heard the Spirit of God for the first time. Then I went some time in my teenage years and I really wasn't listening or paying attention and until I had a crisis come in my life. And then all of a sudden I wasn't as big shot as I thought I was. And then all of a sudden I wanted to hear from God. I wanted to hear what God had to say. Well, I remember when we were in the church over in England and newly married and I'm as low as you can go in the rank of the Air Force, and life was not a bed of roses starting out. I mean, there's a lot of adjustment, and boy, I don't know if we're going to make it or not. And I remember going to church and saying, God, please speak to me today. You ever been like that? We ought to be like that every time we come to church. Every time we read our Bible in the morning, Lord help us, and we all are guilty. Sometimes we got a little routine. Go read my verses, read my Sunday school lesson, go out. You can't even remember what you read. Well, to sit down and say, Lord, I want to hear what you've got to say to me today. And I used to go to church and I'd say, Lord, speak to me. Speak to me today. And you know what happened a whole lot of times, more times than not? God would speak to me. If you want to hear His voice, He will speak to you. That's a blessing. If you're not paying no attention, you could care less, and you say, well, I'm getting hungry, I'm about ready to go. Well, you're probably not going to get very much out of it, but oh, if we'd humble ourselves and say, Lord, speak to me. Well, we get a whole lot more out of it. A lot of times people are just like King Saul was. The Lord told King Saul exactly what He wanted him to do. He said, go down there. He said, when you engage the enemy, He said, kill all of them. I know that's awful, but that's what God told him to do. He said, don't spare anything, anybody, any sheep, any animals, nothing. He said, wipe them all out. Well, King Saul heard what he wanted to hear. King Saul did what he wanted to do. Isn't that how we are a lot of times? People hear what they want to hear. People do what they want to do. So King Saul, he obeyed most of what God said. He killed most of them. And he kept the good cattle and sheep and things for sacrifice. He adjusted what God said, and he said, I think I'll do this instead. That's how we are sometimes. If you read over in 1 Samuel 15 and verse number 22, that's where the Word of God says that Samuel came to Saul, and he said to him, he said, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of lambs. He said, Saul, it's better to listen. It's better to listen. Now, is the devil putting a sleepy spell on everybody this morning? Because I'm looking around, just take a big deep breath. I'll be done in a minute. I don't even feel like I've got started. I guess the devil doesn't want us to really hear what the Word of God says. Or you stayed up and watched TV too long last night. I don't know. Everywhere I look, something up might be in the air conditioner. I don't know. But are you humble? You want to personally apply the Word of God, you're going to have to humble. Bow down thine ear. You're going to have to be hungry for the Word of God and want to hear from the Word of God. And then number three this morning, last of all, he said this, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. Now, I want to show you something the Lord showed me. I told Kim today, I said, I saw something I've never seen before in the Word of God. And she said, where are you going to tell me? I said, well, when we get to church, you're going to have to stay awake during the message. But when I got to thinking about this, the Bible says, apply thine heart unto my knowledge. And as I was thinking about that, studying about that, I was thinking in my mind about applying God's Word to our hearts. You know, we need to apply the Word of God to our heart, to our lives. That's what I'm thinking in my mind, and I'm meditating on that, applying the Word of God to my heart. But then the more I looked at that verse, and I found them seven times where it mentions apply thy heart, I found out that's not what it says. Look what it says we're to do. It doesn't say apply God's Word to our heart. It says, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. Now you think about this morning when we apply something. If we apply paint, if we apply stain, if we have a piece of unfinished furniture and we're going to say this was unfinished, it's just fresh out of the carpenter's shop, and I'm going to stain this, and I'm going to apply, and these three things has to take place. I want it to adhere to it. That stain will take the shape of this table, and it will penetrate, and it'll get down into this table. When you apply anything, you take something that is unstable, paint, stain, a liquid, and you apply it to something that is stable. Now, if we apply God's Word to our heart, it will take the form and the shape of us. You know, the Bible says about our heart, Jeremiah 17 and 9, it says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. But you know, that's what a lot of people do. They take the Word and they apply it to their heart. And that's why there's so many false religions, false isms, and schisms, and all of these things. It is man taking the Word of God and putting a little bit on him. He'll take the parts he likes, and he will conform it to himself. And that is why this country music crowd out here can sing about drinking and carousing and partying and all the wicked stuff they do. And then they'll turn around and sing Amazing Grace and talk about God. Have you ever scratched your head and said, I don't think God would let me do that. Do you? I just don't think that'd bring glory and honor to God to live like the devil and then sing a song about the Lord and just act like that's all right. That's how people can say, well, I'm a Christian. You know, we drink wine and beer and things like that. I don't see anything wrong with that. You know what they're guilty of? They've taken the Word of God and they've applied it what they wanted to apply. and the rest of it, they've got this, I don't see anything wrong with that. That's how people can pick and choose and be sort of carnal and worldly and religious and all at the same time. And there's this confusion about, you know, are they a Christian or what is up with them? That doesn't make any sense. You know, you can take a little bit of the Word of God, wear a cross, wear a bracelet, what would Jesus do, and go out here and live like the devil. Quote a little verse, you know. But the Bible does not say we take the Word of God and apply it to our hearts. It says we apply our heart to the knowledge of the Lord. It says, apply thine heart unto my knowledge. Now, when we do it the Lord's way, what we do, we take and we apply something that is unstable. You ever read over there in Genesis 49 where Jacob blessed his sons? And Reuben was the oldest son and he blessed him first. He said, you're the first, you're the mightiest, you're the prince, you're the glory of my... I forget exactly how it says it, but in verse number 4, he says, thou art unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. He said, Reuben, you're so wishy-washy, you're never going to make anything. That's how we are. If we pick and choose from the Word of God and put a little bit of religious ornaments upon us, that's how we'll be. Unstable as water, we'll never excel. We'll never prosper. But if we take and apply our heart to the Word of God, do you know what will happen? We're unstable. We're applying to that which is solid and eternal. And you know what? If we will stick to Him and we will take the shape of Him. We will begin to look like Him. That's what God says to do. Don't pick and choose what you want out of the Bible. Apply your heart to the Word of God. It made all the difference in the world in my life when I quit trying to live my life for me. I'd take a little bit of the Word of God. I wanted more than anything in the whole wide world to be a professional baseball player. And I'd take a little bit of the Bible and apply it to my life. And like all athletes, they'll pick out Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And that's what I told the Lord. I said, Lord, you let me be a professional baseball player, I'll live for you. I mean, I had it all planned out in my mind, Lord. I'll speak to young people. Tell them what you've done for me. I told the Lord those things. And I'd go out and play and practice and train and I'd claim that verse. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And I lived and eat and slept and drank baseball. My dad said the first words I ever said was ball. Said we passed by Phillips 76. You remember it used to be the big globe? Said I looked up and said ball. I've had ball on the brain all my life. But it made all the difference in the world when I quit trying to tell God what I'd do for Him. And I just came to the Lord and I said, Lord, what do You want me to do for You? Lord, You show me in Your Word and I'll do it. I want to apply my heart to Thy Word. There's a big difference between them two things. Personal application. Bow down thine ear. Apply. Or he said, bow down thine ear. Hear the words of the wise. Then he said, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. I thank God for the day of humility and the day of hearing where I really wanted to hear and the day of applying. If you don't apply it, it's never going to help you. But there must be a personal application. Let's read on down just a few verses. Let me point out something and I'll be finished today. Verse 17 said, bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise. And apply thine heart unto my knowledge. Now notice this. Everybody wants to be happy, live a good life, be successful, happy home, all of those things. Look what it says in verse 18. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips, that thy trust may be in the Lord. I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. Have not I written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge?
that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that sinned unto thee. You know, this world demands an answer from us. And it ought to get a very clear message back from us. The Bible said, be ready to give an answer to every man. To every man. But if it's not personally applied, it's not going to do you any good. If it's not personally applied, you young people, when you get out from under home and family and parents, you're going to go right out and you're going to do just whatever the wind blows you to do in this life. It's got to be personally applied. Have you been saved? Has the blood of Christ been personally applied to your heart and life? Have you ever dedicated your life to the Lord and not playing around being religious, but I mean really, seriously dedicated your life to the Lord and said, Lord, here I am. I want to live for you. Now we need to walk that in this world before the lost that are before us. I'd like for us today to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.